The Dave Damaschek Football Program. Available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Damaschek.
Hi and hello, football fans. Welcome to NFL Week 11. Welcome to the Dave Damaschek Football Program, presented as always by our pals at Zaxby's. It's the home, Matt Money Smith,
of
the famous chicken fingers, wings, and salads. We have much to kibitz about. I can't hear myself talking, so I hope you can hear me.
I hear you perfect.
Whether you're listening, well, you've got us in your ears, or do you have us in your ears and in your eyeballs? Mm. Either way, welcome to the DDFP, the world famous. I don't think that that's actually true, but anyway,
do you get communique from folks around the world?
You do. I know you do as well. And where I'm pleased to report that while we don't have Handsome Hank, he's off in Mexico City readying for the game that you'll be attending.
I'm gonna catch up with him on Saturday night.
On Monday night, yes, you'll feast.
Grab a bite.
You'll feast multiple times, I suspect, knowing you and Handsome and the culinary tour that transcends now just football America. Nay, it is now a football planet. I can keep you interested. I'll whet your appetite and the audience's.
Whet.
Because the ongoing audition for The Fan to replace Mike Francesa, our own Eddie Spaghetti, we will be visited by his small doppelganger, Eddie Angel Hair.
Oh, I like it.
It's also pasta, but
not
smaller.
Not Eddie Fettuccine?
Well, no, it wouldn't really make sense.
Eddie Penny?
Well, the reason I said angel hair is because it's pasta like spaghetti, just smaller.
Oh, I got you.
You see? And the spaghetti doll is a smaller version of him.
Oh, I thought you were giving Eddie Spaghetti because you can't go on the radio as Eddie Spaghetti. But you could certainly go on the air as Eddie Angel Hair.
Much better. Much more palatable.
Better. Yeah, absolutely.
Figuratively and literally. Anyhow, so like I say,
I've been
11.
Honing my craft. I'm ready.
We'll hear from you, Eddie Angel Hair, in just a little bit. But much to dig in on here. I'm trying to think of where we left off.
Can I start with something real quick?
I'd like you to, yes.
Because for those folks that are watching with their eyes, they are seeing me dressed in
dolled up.
Well, it's the same outfit that I am requested to wear for Power Rankings, and it's particularly cold in Studio 66 today. Mm. Although I love what you've done with the place post Halloween, Dave, here in your home.
Yeah, we're in transition. We're getting ready for the
turkey. Because I do work, and while it's radio, it's still somewhat of a corporate environment. It's iHeartMedia. It's a giant corporation, right, of all these radio stations. And the majority of the people that work at the radio station where I do the Petros and Money show, they're not on air. So they show up to work looking like me, Monday through Thursday. But on Friday, they get casual Friday.
Right.
And the same people that work around one another are allowed to wear T-shirts and jeans or polos. And for whatever reason, right before I came in and sat down, I thought of the ridiculousness of that. They don't have people coming in for daily meetings. They aren't going out on client lunches every day. They're just around the exact same people that they're going to see on Friday for casual Friday. So why don't they just wear casual clothes every day?
I think you know deep down the answer to that.
I truly don't. Like, hey, if you
have the man wants to keep his boot on your throat. That's why.
To hell with the man.
The man don't care what makes you comfortable.
That's what I'm saying.
He needs to issue a daily reminder of who's boss, literally.
And you got to wear a suit. You got to dial up and you got to tie your tie. Or nowadays in the 2000, well, beyond the aughts, now in the 2010s, you got to wear a nice button-down shirt like I am today with a sport coat. For what? For the same people you see every single day that you're working alongside. Now, use your judgment if you have to go out and make a pitch or whatever it may be. Then you wear the suit that one day.
I got it.
Right?
Well, listen, we're on fumes. The corporate structure is on fumes anyway because sooner or later, and I suspect and hope sooner, everybody's going to get caught up with, oh, yeah, we don't have to physically be in the same building. We can all just be on our respective laptops.
On our monitor,
laptops.
On our camera.
There's no reason why we drive in, except that the man must issue his reminder that I am in charge.
Bad coffee.
Yeah.
Stale cereal. Don't you dare take a ream of paper home. All right?
I like the Matt Money Smith.
The firing is in your future.
And yet, here you sit in a natty blazer. You look like you might go testify before Congress or something like that.
Best wishes that something happening today?
In advance of that. But anyhow, let's dig in on our chosen profession, kibitzing about other human beings playing a sport, namely pro football here, and we'll talk some week 11 here.
Right.
Where we left off, as a reminder, I told you that the Tennessee Titans would beat the Kansas City Chiefs, didn't I?
You did.
And that happened.
It did.
And I said also that the Browns would beat the Bills. You were on board with that pick.
I was, even though I had picked the Bills, which I am now moved off of. I was, to some degree, you know, just kind of like, all right, I'll pick one way, I'll pick the other, and I'll move forward from that. But you were spot on with your projection that the Bills had to win that game.
I like to pat myself on the back.
Well,
and while we talk about the
And by the way, in a very Brendan Fraser school ties ask, coward, how do you not take the Steelers? You see,
that was wrong.
You see what happens? Look at you. Unless you were trying to do the whole jinx, reverse jinx
that's exactly
kind
what
of thing.
That's
I'd rather be wrong in my pick and have the Steelers win than be right in my pick. And
that's
have
right.
The, is that what it was?
That's how it went down. That's
Unbelievable
right. It also occurs to me, or as I was watching the game, Mason Rudolph, fine. He had a lot of drops. Some people don't really like him. They think he's a major liability. I would consider
him
more.
I'm in that category.
I don't know. I don't think I would label him a major liability. He is certainly not a plus in the pursuit of victory, but I think he had a lot of drops on him there.
I'll be pleasant and just say, man, that's a heck of a defense.
Fair
that
enough.
That Steelers
fair
team's
enough.
Got a heck
you're
of
not,
a defense.
You're not going to – but it did occur to me, what quarterback or any other football player would purposely wear number two? You know? Why two? You have like 19 other choices to cut.
Fair point.
Two is what you're going with?
Fair point.
Very weird.
Or maybe you're the first two.
Matt Ryan told me once when I asked him why two, he said because I grew up loving Tim Couch when he was at Kentucky.
Is that right?
How many human beings can rightly say that they ended up being a better professional athlete than their hero?
Right? Fair point.
I told him, Matt Ryan, you're a superior to Tim Couch.
How is that like, how does
Tim Couch.
Was his dad like an alumnus of the University of Kentucky, so he was watching
know.
Kentucky football?
That's a cagey move on his part because the bar was fairly low.
Sure.
If that's what you're shooting to do in life, like,
Mason
I
want to
be as good as Tim Couch, now we're really getting somewhere here. Like, if Mason Rudolph merely is that good, then that won't be half bad.
He did qualify it, though, as... It is funny, you know, having gone to school in Los Angeles right prior to the departure of the Rams and the Raiders, and a lot of people from the West Coast being at Pepperdine the same time I was there, from Arizona, from Las Vegas, from Utah, from New Mexico, places like that, it was funny to see the football allegiances that they all had. And more often than not, it was a college quarterback because many of them grew up. For instance, my roommate, Damien, his favorite team was the Eagles because of Randall Cunningham at UNLV while he grew up in Las Vegas. So he just followed Randall Cunningham wherever he went. Same thing with a friend of mine who was from Utah and was just wherever Ty Detmer went was the team that he cheered for. So, again, another Eagles fan because of Ty Detmer. It's wild to see the way that happens.
That is, well, that's exactly right, and that's why the hook sinks deep. It's not something to play games with. When I was on my way to see the Chargers and the Steelers play, you were cracking wise about how you wanted to win Jean-Claude Van Damashek over to the Charger side of things. That's not a laughing matter, because if you got the hook into him at age 10,
that's what we're trying
it ain't
to do.
Ever coming out.
That's what we're trying to do. We're trying
Good luck.
To say,
well, do it. Do it for the Chargers. Just leave my kid alone.
Not even a direct flight to Pittsburgh.
Leave my kid out of this mess.
Doesn't even have a direct flight to watch football, yet can watch 10 games, including the preseason, in his town where he was born. He is a California native.
That's not your business.
Your
now
son
listen.
Is a California native, and you have him cheering for the freaking Penguins, the Buccos,
That's
and
right.
the damn Steelers.
The Steelers
Since
are the
been
only,
born,
the
how
Steelers
many Stanley
are the
Cups
only,
the Kings won?
How many of the Penguins won? What is
I'm
that
asking
question?
You a question.
I don't know, and nor
two.
Do I care what the Since Kings
Since he was
have done.
Born, they've won two Stanley Cups
I
in his town.
I don't care. Listen, they'll poppycock. The only one that matters is the Steelers. The other ones, he's free to choose. I want him to be his
sure
own
you
man.
Do.
Now, one thing that did make me seem like $1 million in his eyes was Matt Money Smith generously invited me on to sit in my favorite radio show in all the land, the Petros and Money Show.
This past Friday.
Last Friday, we had our usual gay time in there up in Burbank. AM 570.
Great show that day.
Make sure Petros and Money, you check out Matt Money Smith and Petros Papadakis doing great work there. Matt Money Smith Thursdays and Fridays on NFL Now on NFL Network. He's all over the place. And of course, like we say, up in the booth calling the games of your Los Angeles Chargers. And
you kind of undersold it there, Dave, real quick. I want to point out, if you want to hear more DDFP similar content, go to the Petros and Money Show podcast from this past Friday. And get, we did 4 hours together.
Oh, you'll be much better.
4 hours of AM radio.
Listen to Money and Petros, and then you'll see why
show.
I call it the greatest show there
show.
Is. Yeah, lots of fun to do that, obviously, and appreciate the offer there.
Appreciate
couple
you.
Of programming things very quickly, and then we will jump into pro football. One is a new Daves of Thunder is available for you. Me and David Feeney chopping it up. All things Dave and very little else. We don't let the outside world in. And also, for fans of the NFL, we did a cool thing on Saturday. We got together with Steve Weish and Baldy and Cindy Freeland and Jim Trotter and Cole Wright.
And
we did a whole...
And?
Just like Playmobil.
Daniel Jeremiah.
And Daniel Jeremiah. I really forgot to mention Daniel Jeremiah. How dare I? Anyway, that was the gaggle we got together. On an old stage... An old set that was used in Seven, where Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman did their thing. Damashek and Baldy did ours
right?
on Saturday. And listen, if Angry Birds and Playmobil can be given, you know, a broader treatment than where they started, surely the What If is worthy. Then we'll have that for you by the end of the year. I'm not sure exactly, but I think people who care about history at all will enjoy that little project that we finally got to. Now, about the Chargers, Money, the thing that I have said for the last week or two is, even though the division, since Thursday night, I guess, since they lost up in Oakland, it seems to me that while the division may probably be out of reach, but I don't think it, obviously mathematically it isn't, but I think practically you're not going to win the division. Still, they are the X factor of the AFC West because of those two games outstanding with the Chiefs starting this weekend. And I think the Chargers could absolutely win that game since it's not one of our red challenge flag picks. It is one of our red challenge flag picks. Darn it. Sorry, Spaghetti.
It's all right.
I didn't see you had that one scrawled down there.
I will say...
But do you agree with that assessment that the Raiders, having looked at them up close as you got to last week, do you think it's absurd? Do they come back to earth? Or is it absurd to suggest that they really still have a shot at the West?
100% do. And it's the only path for the Chargers. If they win out, they'll win the West, for the most part. I mean, obviously,
that's
the Raiders.
Right.
Because they would sweep the Chiefs. They would both end up 10-6, and the Chargers would win the tiebreaker and thereby win the division. Do I think that's likely based on what we've seen this year? It's a long shot. I mean, it's definitely possible. Every single one of their losses has been a one-score game. This past one, for the first time, we saw the defense melt down and lose a game. Before, it was the offense not able to execute on their final possession in order to gain victory. This time, the defense was not able to hold the Raiders on their final drive after having held them, for the most part, the entire game, save one drive. Really, it was that interception, the pick six, and then, of course, the one returned 56 yards that gave them 10 of their, I believe, 27 points. Does that sound right? Or 24
that
points?
That sounds right.
Whatever the case. So I would not be surprised. And then let's just say that the Chargers do, in fact, sweep the Chiefs. There you go. I mean, that's the Raiders. That is wide open. I can't figure out what the Raiders are because the Chargers offense played such a weird game. They lost both their tackles.
Especially in that final minute, right.
That pass rush had not shown us anything that looked like that all season long, and they did it against a third-round pick out of Sioux Falls and really an undrafted free agent out of Grambling at the other tackle spot because Sam Tevi and Russell Okun were out. Rivers, for whatever reason, for the first time in a long time that I can remember, was just holding on the ball too long, was not getting rid of it like he typically does. And it ended up being a very poor performance. Melvin Gordon was running the ball well. Austin Eckler, when he was able to get some touches, did a whole lot with him. And instead, it became a coming out party for Cleveland Farrell. And this guy, Eric Harris, who should have had four interceptions, let alone just
and
two. One of them
Max
returned
Crosby
for pick six.
As well.
Yeah, exactly. Max Crosby, I thought, was probably, you know, was certainly in the conversation as the best player on the field there. I think fourth-round pick out of Eastern Michigan in being able to disrupt Rivers. And you see there, I mean, that's a pass that Rivers always hits. If you're watching, it's to Andre Patton where he just airmails him. He hits him in stride and it's probably a touchdown. It was just a bad game for Phillip.
But beautiful to look at, though, for the aesthetically minded.
Well, from a fashion standpoint, yes. From a functional standpoint.
Oh, are the silver numbers bad for you?
Double middle fingers from this
Can't
guy.
Can't see them, huh?
It reminded me of a call I had, Stanford versus Oregon, on the farm, circa, let's say, like 2000, maybe 14.
I remember exactly.
I believe I've told this story. Fog. And I have to call the game from the roof because they forgot to build an extra booth when they redid the farm. And I could not see a single number. It was a white Oregon jersey with essentially, they called it a silver number. It might as well have been a white number. And that is what this was reminiscent of.
Well, it looked awful sweet on my TV at
home.
Yeah. And so anyway, the Raiders now a player. The Chargers, the frustrating thing, not to belabor it and upset Chargers fans and Matt Money Smith, but it's got to be especially frustrating because if you just get that one, even if you lose
huge.
To the Chiefs, Derwin James comes back presumably after the bye, then you're really cooking with gas. Now I wonder if it's too far gone. But you beat the Chiefs, things are going to look awfully different as you go into the bye. All right, let's now get into, before we hear from Eddie Angel here and Eddie Spaghetti here, let's jump into, or in fact, I think we're going to marry the two up here now.
Okay.
It's time for Fresh Takes presented once again by Zaxby's, again and always, home of the famous fingers.
Famous fingers.
The famous fingers, wings, and salads. Go get some.
You
put
know
them
what
in
I
your
think
belly.
They are?
That's a good idea.
Delicious.
Very nicely done.
Maybe run that by the folks there at the corporate office. Huh?
Consider
Delicious.
It done.
Ah.
All right.
Boy, we could do this all day.
So I feel like the thing that I want to jump in on is the news that Adam Gase or Christopher Johnson, owner of the Jets, suggests pretty strongly, without saying he's definitely, I don't think he verbalized, Adam Gase will definitely be our head coach in 2020, but he did go so far as to say, Adam is a good man and a good football coach, and he's going to be here this year and next year, which is essentially saying they're going to keep him through 2020, which is a weird question. But after that Jets-Giants barn burner in New Jersey last Sunday, it occurs to me that, you know, Shurmur and Gase both are kind of still on the chopping block. No offense to Christopher Johnson. I guess he knows better than I do what he intends to do this offseason. All I will say is I wouldn't be surprised if Joe Douglas gives some serious pushback on that. Like, I took the gig and I want to take it in a certain direction and I don't think we can get there with a head coach who was previously sticking his nose into personnel matters. I would imagine that marriage is not sustainable long term. But either way, here's the question. And in fact, Money, why don't you ask this question? Are you there, Eddie Spaghetti?
I am present.
You ready to roll here?
I'd love to, yeah.
All right. Money had a gangbusters idea a week ago. You said with Mike Francesa stepping down, what was your idea?
Well, that we need to start getting Eddie some reps. You know, that's what, the business of media is just reps. You know, hey, what's it like calling games? Hey, you need a lot under your belt before you even figure it
out.
Right. What's it like doing radio? Well, you got to do a bunch of radio shows before you figure it out. So why don't we do a mock radio show? We know that you know, sports talk radio in New York is much different than any other place because they really do lean on the callers.
Right.
They do like to engage with the audience.
And a radio consultant, by the way, told me recently, Dave, if you keep getting the reps in 14 to 17 years from now, you might be able to get into a small market.
Listen,
so fingers crossed.
So here we go.
You're going to be the caller, placing a call to Eddie Spaghetti and his sidekick, Eddie Angel here. Take it away.
Here we go. Eddie, I will let you bring me on as, how about I am Saul from the Bronx.
Yeah, working the phones is an important part of it.
Saul from the Bronx. So here we go.
All right, let's hit the phones. We got Saul from the Bronx been holding for
You're
a while.
You're darn right it's Saul from the Bronx, and I've been on hold way too long. Eddie, you there?
I'm here.
All right, listen up.
Saul.
Here's my question. You got, let's say you're the hot coaching candidate, right? Let's say you're Lincoln Riley, and you get a call, line one, Giants, line two, Jets. Which gig you taking, huh?
Well, Saul, great question. A bit aggressive, but nonetheless, good question.
How about you get a little more aggressive, huh?
You got to go. If it's Lincoln Riley, I think he's going to want to pair himself with Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones so far has shown that he's, you know, he has got the fumble.
Spit it out!
But, you know, Lamar Jackson is rookie year.
Harassing callers.
we're gonna hang up on Saul.
I'll take the answer off the air.
Lamar Jackson fumbled a bunch his rookie year too, which people don't really bring up now. I think Daniel Jones could actually fix that. And the one thing that Sam Darnold has done since he was at San Clemente High School was throw interceptions.
What do you know about what he did at San Clemente High School?
It's on the internet.
What are you talking about?
You're over there eating pizza pie in Staten Island. You're worried about what some kid's doing over in SoCal.
San Clemente, never heard of it.
And I think the mobility factor that Daniel Jones brings to the table that Darnold really doesn't have will speak to...
He's an all-CIF basketball player, no mobility. What are you talking... If you're gonna cite his high school exploits or lack thereof...
Do you even watch sports?
What is this guy doing? What a joker.
Jones is going to... He's projected to end the season with over 500 rushing yards. Darnold's not going to come close to that.
Projections. I'm asking you for a gut. What do you want? Which game? That's
Lincoln
a quarterback.
Riley, Lincoln Riley would rather coach Daniel Jones. Period. End of story.
Let's dig in on that a little bit deeper, shall we, here, and jump in there, Eddie Spaghetti and Eddie
Angel. You're getting
Angel
there, Eddie, but more reps, man. We got to get some more reps. Maybe later in the show here.
What is your answer? Let's say Shurmur and Gase both are freed up.
Okay.
And,
that's the key, though.
Yeah. Well, right.
I need to see Charles Johnson say to Joe Douglas, it is your show. You make the call and every call.
Yeah,
I think important.
Obviously a major asterisk at this point, given the news. But just for fun's sake, let's say you are a high-profile head coach being sought after by NFL teams, and both of the New York football teams offer you the gig. Which one do you think is the better one to take?
So it's tricky, right? Because I don't think anybody would question the Giants are certainly the more they look to be the more stable.
Traditionally, they are, but let's keep in mind what their last 8 years have
been. Or the last, since Dave Gettleman was hired, it seems like it's been a little shaky. Cachet, right? The Giants is a much bigger deal than the Jets. But now, I've got an Eagles team with Carson Wentz and Howie, and they are always relevant, and that's a nasty kind of, they have a great O-line that's pretty young. I know Peters is older, but they've got three left tackles they can lean on. You have the Cowboys with Dak Prescott and Amari Cooper and Zeke Elliott. Where am I at with the AFC East in Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, who's 42, and the Dolphins, who are in a full-on rebuild? Do I really buy the Bills, or do I feel like I can come in with a quarterback I believe in Sam Darnold, with Le'Veon Bell, with Quinnen Williams, likely high draft picks to just restock that offensive line, probably trade down since you already have your quarterback. If it's the Burrow, Tua, Herbert show, I can back up, pick up a couple twos and threes, and now I can totally restock my offensive line. That's what I'm assuming Joe Douglas is going to be able to do, who's proven to be a pretty apt talent evaluator and someone who knows how to navigate free agency in the draft. I think it's closer than you would suspect, is what I would say.
Believe me, I am not it's sort of, in L.A. terms, it's Clippers versus Lakers. The Giants, overstating who the Giants are.
The Jets have more fans than the Clippers do.
Right, well, and also the Giants aren't as successful, relatively speaking, as the Lakers have been. But anyway, you get the larger point, which is the more popular brand, the more successful brand in the Super Bowl era. That's an interesting way you approach that, is who's going to be your immediate competition. Carson Wentz, and you don't know what Dwayne Haskins and the Skins are going to end up being, but Zeke and Dak, it would seem, are going to be there for a little while versus, once the Patriots, part ways with Tom Brady, that team goes into the great abyss, I guess. I think that I also think, to your point about building up the offensive line for the Jets, don't you get the sense that Le'Veon Bell is going to be one and done there? They tried to trade him this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible. I mean, certainly with the money that he's owed, I would assume if they can find a taker for that contract, they would trade that
contract. I don't think it's as severe. I think the bulk of it is year one money.
Yeah, year one. So I think that's a possibility. If it means that they can restock that offensive line, that defensive line, add to Quinnen Williams and what you have going there. But, O-line is an issue. What we just talked about, the Chargers and the Raiders, right? Look at the Raiders' offensive line. My God, it's mammoth. It's a freaking mountain they've built in front of Derek Carr with just giant bodies. And the Chargers are miserable up front right now because of injury and perhaps, a little bit of a lack of talent. So if you can get that right and you believe in Sam Darnold, then I would say this is a pretty good situation you're going into. I mean, look, I would assume the pro-Patriot crowd is like, yeah, and I'm, and if you want to do your Bill Simmons voice, like, go ahead, bet against us. How dare you? You know,
Tom Brady ain't going anywhere right. for another 24 years.
But that's one team versus, I think, two relatively young rosters.
One of Tom Brady's sons is taking over. As soon as Tom hangs it up, right. his son comes in.
So that's, I think that's where it gets a little bit trickier than, you know.
You asked it to Eddie Angel hair a week ago. Now, to wrap up this little conversation, hypothetical as it would seem, well, who would you rather have going forward right now, Darnold or Danny Dimes?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a lot closer than I would have ever thought it was going to be. But I mean, look, I'm not ashamed to admit I have a bit of a bias. You know, I do, I 100% believe in Sam Darnold. There are some serious
still
issues.
100%.
No,
your confidence
no.
meter hasn't dropped a little.
My 100% has turned into 80%. There are certainly some decision-making moments that need to start going better for Darnold. There are some bad interceptions out there. There's lack of security, ball security that's going on right now. But again, I just look at the Jets and they're such a mess. And I think it's more that than talent or ability. It's more, wow, are they really screwing with this kid's head to an extent that it is going to affect his
future? They always say that. They always do that with MLB pitchers. Even the ones that don't steal signs, it seems to me that that's overstated. I have no evidence right.
See,
to prove that.
I disagree.
But I'd rather a kid play and get the reps.
Well, I'm just talking about circumstance and, you know, coaching and organization and what's around you. Like, I look at Lamar Jackson, and I know we're going to talk about him in a minute, but you just think about, okay, where can we place this quarterback where he is going to have the best opportunity to succeed? I can't think of another team in the league, save maybe, you know, the Patriots, if they were willing to do it, that would commit the way the Ravens have committed to, oh, yeah, we're going to change our offense.
Yeah.
We're going to draft differently. We're going to trade. And we are going to take a huge swing at what we believe is a supreme talent in an unconventional manner. There are so few teams in the league that
and
be willing
to do
that.
And if you did it halfway, it wouldn't have worked.
It would be a failure.
It would just not look right.
No.
It wouldn't be nearly the success it is. I do think in the bottom line, one last point about it is, Saquon, shut it down. I understand you're a competitor. This is a lost season. You're not doing anybody any favors outside of fantasy owners by getting back out there in 2019.
Right.
Save the tires and for 2020 and beyond. I don't see, but I do have self-promoting on game
Please.
Day on Good Morning Football, I should say, on Saturday, a piece about, I don't know who is ever going to get a second contract if you're a running back, and I don't care if you're Christian McCaffrey or Dalvin Cook. The results are in. Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson, Zeke Elliott, Devontae Freeman. The list goes on and on.
Todd Gurley.
I'm sorry,
the big
Todd
one.
Gurley. Well, I mean, yeah, he's up there. That's for sure. It's why would you ever invest that kind of loot in somebody? I think that the Jets will make it right by parting ways with Le'Veon Bell to free up some loot for in the offseason. But man, it's hard to imagine if you're a Panthers fan right now saying, like, well, of course we got to keep our guy. I don't know if you're going to have that opinion in 2 or 3 years from now.
I think they would. I mean, well, I think it depends, right, on the offensive identity, you know, and that's the question for Minnesota with Dalvin Cook, for the Panthers, especially if they decide to go in an opposite direction of Cam Newton and get someone that's more Kyle Allen-esque, if that's who it's going to be, you know. It's tough because running backs are certainly still very, I think, very, very important. I mean, look at Jimmy Garoppolo when he doesn't have a running game. You know, he's a bit of a disaster. You know, they've got to have a dominant running game in San Francisco in order for
that
thing to work.
But isn't it also fairly clear at this point that it's the offensive line more
right.
than it
you,
is
you,
the
I
guy
see what you're
carrying
saying,
the ball?
You can get a third rounder, a second rounder, and plug them in and likely, you know, find some sort of level of production.
It's just not worth that investment when right. you have a finite amount of dollars to spend
yeah.
against the cap. One more question for Eddie Spaghetti and Eddie Angel here. This one's coming from Linda in Jamaica.
Linda in Jamaica, Queens. What do you got?
Hey, Eddie Spaghetti. You sound terrific. Your mama's proud, I'm sure. My question is, two words, Capo Caco. Your thoughts? I'll hang up and listen.
He'll be the best player on the roster since the 1994 team. Maybe outside of the Yager, the 1 year he had where he was in the run for the Hart Memorial, lost to Joe Thornton. But Capo Caco is, for an 18-year-old, he's something else. So big, humongous win last night over the Pittsburgh
You're
Penguins.
A pro, Money. Give some notes.
Here we go. Yeah, listen, The key, Eddie, is to sound 100% convinced of what you're saying.
Yeah.
You can't, like, here we go. Ready? I'm gonna be Bernie. Bernie from, let's go Bernie in Midtown. Here we go. Here we go.
Bernie in Midtown. What's up?
Hey, I'll tell you what's up. I'm just coming out the garden and I watched the Knicks puke all over themselves. The Cavs are going to come into my town and beat them by 20. I want Fizdale gone now.
He puts the fizz in Fizdale. Fizz out.
Now, you say.
You guys said it all. I agree. The Knicks are a disaster. I mean, the Nets right now, it's the Nets town. 100%.
Listen.
Now,
see, now
listen. Let money help.
Okay. Now you be Bernie from Midtown, and I'll be Eddie Angel here. All right. Here we go.
And call about the Knicks here.
Whatever you want. Here we go.
Any question? Yeah. Surprise him to prove the point. Surprise.
All right. I got 30 minutes to go. Bernie in Midtown. What do you want?
Hey, Money. Thanks for taking my call. You see this Astros stuff with the, you know, the.
Did I see it? What do you mean, did I see it? Of course I saw it. I watched that video from Jumbo 10 times. I watched it back and forth. You know what I want? I want a rematch. I want to file a protest. Yesterday is what I want. Judge, he was wronged, and he's wronged by a bunch of cheaters. And if MLB had any sack, let me tell you right now, that gap-toothed weirdo Manfred would hop on a bird and get to Houston, and he would rip that ALCS pennant right off the wall of Tropicana Field. That's what I think. Did I see it? What kind of question is that?
Did I see it? No, I didn't see it. I was out putting together the Yanks parade down Main Street because they're the true champs of 2017 now. See? And by the way, I'm hereby demanding a federal investigation into just what in the hell the Astros think they're doing down there.
There we go. See, Eddie?
As you guys are true
That's
pros.
What we need.
True professionals.
That's what we need from
learning.
You.
Step
Come on,
step.
You got
you,
this.
Oh, what's the conversation? Oh, it's binary. It's either A or B. Yes, every conversation is a binary one. A or B. Take your side, A or B, and then anybody who
the
says
death.
The other side is crazy. What are you, nuts? You're a disgrace. You think B instead of A? What's wrong with you? Get off my phone line. You're ruining my program.
Tanaka Shnanaka. Let me tell you what you need. A good camera and a freaking buzzer monitor. That's all you need nowadays to win an MLB. Way to go, Manfred. I hope you're proud of your product.
This is Marty. I'm calling in for you, Eddie Spaghetti.
Okay.
The Giants and the Jets. Let's say the Jets, they get rid of that bum Sam Darnold. What
See,
a reach.
Where you got to jump in, Eddie, when he's like, when he mumbles. You got to say, hey, if you call, you better be ready. I can't be listening to you mumbling all
this is prime
Stop
time.
Tripping all over your words.
This reflects poorly on my show.
See? Come on, Eddie, get in there.
Let's say the Jets get to take a new QB. Tua or Burrow? Go.
Easy answer is Burrow. Did him the big stage in Tuscaloosa. Best team in the country right now, LSU. He's leading them, Burrow, all the way. Tua had not trusted him. The ankle surgery, too. Both ankles. That's a huge problem. Red flag.
I want more.
I don't have the hot. I'm not a hot takey screamer.
It's not hot takey.
Even
it's
with the Giants versus Jets, I'm not
it's
even.
It's just the delivery.
I'm not
it's
even
just,
convinced that like
it's just
I believe
the
Giants are even better
That's
than the Jets.
That's the key. The key is to even if you don't believe,
to
you got to sell it.
All right.
I'm no example. My way is. Yeah, I could see it that way.
Yeah.
I mean, you do make
but
a good point.
But we're talking WFAN. You know what it's got to be, yeah. Eddie.
Boom.
What
Next
kind of
question.
What kind of question is that?
Big blue versus ugly green. What's that? What's even to consider? Next.
And then maybe, you know, a little bit of filler in there.
Maybe
a
What
nap.
Do you think? Dealer's choice here, Matt Money Smith.
Yes.
Do you want to go right into the Red Challenge flag picks?
Or
do you want a little more Eddie Spaghetti and use your noodle? I'm saying it's use your noodle.
Well, rhetorical question.
Apparently. Do it. You took too long.
So get together and canoodle. We got the whole kit and caboodle.
Boodle.
And while the questions, they may be futile, it's time for you to use your noodle. Yeah.
All right.
I can't have dead air on my time.
That's why you wanted the pen. You were scrambling for a pen before the production. Like, where's my pen? It's because you wanted to do Use Your Noodle. I should have picked up
Here
on
we
that.
Go. It's time for Use Your Noodle. This is right. The game show. Money and I will trade back and forth.
It's
one name apiece
one.
Until one can no longer come up with a name on the list. Go ahead there, Eddie Spaghetti.
Do we have a choice of noodle topics? Or
yeah,
do
you guys,
one?
You have a treat. There's three different options today.
Okay, what do we got?
All right, so the first one is the first player of the franchise in the 2000s and beyond that have either rushed or have a receiving season for over 1,000 yards.
Okay.
The other one I have is...
First running back.
So 2000 receiver, running back, first to eclipse 1,000 yards in the 2000, like, towards now.
Per franchise. Okay, that's hard. That.
It's actually...
That's a little too nuanced.
Just quick glance at the names. It's fairly simple. And it's recent names, too. This one is the top five rushing seasons per franchise, and then the other one is every franchise's quarterback that has eclipsed 15,000 total yards passing. These are pretty lengthy. The first one is shorter.
Let's do the last one.
So basically everybody who's thrown for 15K. Doesn't have to be divvied up by franchise, right?
Correct, yeah.
So anybody in history 15, who's
that
done
could go, that could
it's not
go
that
for a
huge
while.
A group.
You don't think so?
I think it could go for a while, but well, it's not it's, that
I think
many
it's,
names.
I think it's 15K in that uniform.
Okay, yeah. That's a good wild card.
That's why
it's
split up in the teams, yeah.
Okay. Matt Money Smith, you dealer's choice.
Brett Favre, Packers.
Brett Favre, Packers. Yeah, he's number one.
Aaron Rodgers.
All right, you got him?
I will go Joe Montana, 49ers.
That's a good one, but you could have done there. That one's not that that far ahead of everybody, but that's fine. Right. Do what you want to do.
Montana's number one. Sorry, it's taking me a while to find these teams.
Joe Montana's the number one?
For the amount of total yards in that uniform, yeah.
You're kidding me.
Yeah.
Joe Montana
35.
Has more passing yards as a 49er
from 1979.
Than my answer Dan Marino has for the Miami Dolphins.
No, for the
49ers.
It's per jersey.
He's going through
jersey.
So I'm going to come back and say Steve Young for 15,000.
Oh, exactly. So Steve Young is correct, yes.
Yeah, okay. See what I mean?
I got you. So Dan Marino is
so
my
Dan Marino
answer.
Is yours. I did Steve Young, Dolphins, now yes. Back to you.
But wait, didn't I just do Marino?
I gave you Marino.
Yeah, but Marino's I pointed correct. Out to illustrate how we're doing the game, I then submitted
right,
my
then
next
I'll
answer
go.
Of Steve Young.
I'll go with one Big Ben Roethlisberger.
Yes.
Dan Fouts.
Phil Rivers.
Fouts and Rivers, yes, both on that, obviously.
Kurt Warner.
For whom?
The Rams.
It's testing.
Oh, wow.
I knew it. I had a feeling that
Kurt Warner, not on the Rams list.
Really?
Yeah.
He wasn't there that long.
Yeah, that's true. I guess Bulger took over.
He's with the Giants by '03,
right?
Yeah.
That's a good one. The old West Coast.
No, '04. Still, that's surprising.
What was his total? Do you have it?
Surprising he didn't get
that. He's on the list. I'll say the number four on the Rams is 16,114 yards. So
Breeze, Peyton.
Yeah,
Eli,
I mean, there's a ton. I was going to go
Bradshaw,
Breeze with the Chargers.
Staubach,
yeah.
Theismann for the Skins.
Cam Newton.
Did I say Rodgers already? I did say Rodgers.
Cam Newton, yeah.
Bart Starr.
Yeah, so you got it.
Yeah, there's a ton. I mean, you could go Peyton Manning, Indianapolis.
Wonder if
that, right?
Tarkenton did it for two teams. He probably did do it for... He definitely did it for the Vikings.
If you wanna,
Archie Manning.
For the Giants.
If you want to do a quick bonus, there are only four teams that have won.
Four teams that have one.
Yeah. Kerry Collins. Oh, no, it wouldn't be
no,
Kerry Collins.
I would
for the
go
Panthers.
Cam Newton, Panthers.
Panthers have two.
Panthers have two. So would it be Kerry Collins? Wouldn't be Jake DeLome.
Jim Zorn?
Jake DeLome.
Well, no,
also
Dave Craig. Dave Craig definitely
yes,
did.
Yes, definitely Zorn.
And Russell
Craig.
Wilson did
and
it.
And Russell Wilson. Let's see.
I like to ask the peanut gallery at times like this. Is this boring or interesting?
It's interesting.
You like this one, Victor?
I'll tell you what.
Bartlett?
I'll tell you what.
Boring.
Yeah.
Are the Rams one of them?
No, the Rams have four.
Four?
And you mentioned Bulger. Bulger's on there with 22K.
Oh, yeah, Mike Bulger would have
Bulger.
To be.
What do we got? Bulger, Ferragamo?
Bulger, Norm Van Brocklin.
Oh, yeah, Van Brocklin.
Jim Everett.
That's right.
And Roman Gabriel.
Jeez. Oh, of course. God.
Pat Hayden didn't get the 15. All right, well, that's
Roman
it.
Gabriel.
We got to split.
Hold on. No, we got to come up with the four teams. We got we haven't gotten any of them
well,
yet.
Think of the bum teams.
Jaguars.
Think of the new teams.
Oh, yeah,
the
yeah.
Texans.
Jaguars.
Not the Jags.
Wait, what?
Jags actually have three guys in the 15.
The Jacksonville Jaguars.
Three guys threw for 15,000 yards.
Brunell, and who else?
Blake.
Bortles threw for 15. I guess that makes sense. Yeah, he did have like a 4,500 yard season.
What about
Texans?
Texans are one.
There we go.
And it's, do you have an idea who it is?
Matt
David
Schaub.
Carr.
Matt Schaub.
Yeah, Matt Schaub. Okay, Texans are one.
You have one more AFC and you have two NFC.
Cardinals, maybe? No, well, no.
Cardinals, not Cardinals.
Definitely not Cardinals.
Kerry Collins for the... No, not for the Titans. No, Steve McNair for the Titans.
There you go.
That's not one of the, that's not a team, though.
What?
Titans have...
Oh, okay. Who else
they
could have
four.
Done for the Titans? Kerry Collins?
Four.
Yeah.
Who are they?
It's
Doug Williams it's for the Bucks.
Houston Oilers slash
oh,
Titans.
Oh, well, that doesn't... Warren Moon and like that. I don't
Warren
want to get into
Moon,
that.
Exactly.
No, okay. I was thinking, all right.
All right, that's
they?
It.
Who
it's
are
Bucks, Jameis Winston, Bears, Jay Cutler, Ravens, Joe Flacco.
Jay Cutler, the Bears are so bad at QB, and they took Mitchell Trubisky, so now they have to watch watch Deshaun and Patrick Mahomes for the next 12 years, and there's nothing they can ever do to get over that.
By
except,
the way,
that's crazy.
Using that as a jumping-off point, let's be careful now that the Rams don't have to watch Carson Wentz and Dak Prescott for the next 10 years. Considering how bad Jared Goff has looked without an offensive line with Jeff Fisher and now without an offensive line for Sean McVay.
Well, as our friend Maurice Jones-Drew and I spoke about, I said, you know, really both of those, both the Goff and the Gurley contracts are now bad contracts. They're both albatrosses.
They're
and I
terrible
said, which
contracts.
Is worse? And he really, you know, he's a company man and he's, what's he exactly going to say? But he did say, you know, we talk Sean McVay and is what he's doing and is it grown stale or does he need some sort of update or revision to it because he continues to try and ride the play action with Todd Gurley and it's and Todd Gurley did not look like junk. It just feels like most recently and I think all season. It's not like you watch him. If you see David Johnson against Tampa Bay, you say, oh, man, something's wrong with David Johnson. Why are they even putting him on the field? That's not my reaction to Todd Gurley.
That was the first time he's looked
carry to
good,
carry, he
looked
looks
okay.
spry. It's just that he only gets 10 touches.
Right.
So what are they doing then? But
I just kind of, not to extend this conversation, but Jared Goff, Todd Gurley, Aaron Donald, Brandon Cooks, you're going to have to pay Jalen Ramsey to be the highest
and now you
paid
must,
corner
you now must
in the
pay Jalen Ramsey or it's a,
and
an embarrassment.
You probably got to pay Dante Fowler as well. Because otherwise you have no edge pressure. So you were talking about like six guys.
I just mean for the optics. If you let Jalen Ramsey walk after
going.
You trade,
he's,
they must
so,
retain
but
him.
What I'm saying is you now have six guys that are going to make north of $15 million a year. Six. You have no offensive line. You have no first-round draft picks for the foreseeable future. Andrew Whit was going to retire.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest of your offensive line has been terrible. You already let Roger Saffold walk. I mean, and there's just no recourse. There's no path for you to replenish that. You don't have the money to spend in free agency to go get good guys, which rarely become available anyway. And you don't have the draft capital to go reload. I don't know what happens. This team looked like they were going to be a five-year dynasty, at least a team that was going to contend for an NFC championship. And now, they might be staring at a word you like the abyss. Like, what do we do here?
Jared Goff better elevate back to 2018 Jared Goff or figure something out about his game along with the help of Sean McVay because, to your point, right, this is not going to be a top-to-bottom deep roster going forward. And in that division, with the relatively young Niners, I don't know what you think about Jimmy Garoppolo, but that roster top-to-bottom is much stronger. The Cardinals look like they're going to be a
factor.
Kyler Murray's
the real deal.
They're going to be good.
He's
you can see that coming.
Deal.
And they're loaded up. Once Larry Fitzgerald goes away, Andy Isabella and Christian Kirk. Now they're fine there. And
Keyshawn Johnson
and then the
is
Seahawks
a good receiver.
Is, you know, for at least another 3 or 5 years, Russell Wilson seems capable by himself of keeping them relevant. So, yeah, this could be bad times for the Rams coming up here.
I think the number I saw on Jared Goff was over his last 16, he is 9-7. He is completing, I believe, sub 60% of his passes. And I want to say his passer rating is somewhere around 77. That's not this. That's the last 16 games, a full season's worth, and he is the highest paid player in football.
He's not without football virtue, but he is no better than league average. Is he? I mean, could you rightly put him ahead of 15 other QBs? And that's a problem given how much you're into him for and for how long you're into him. At this point. So, he's the X factor. And as Maurice points out, Todd Gurley likes to play power football. He ran at Georgia out of the eye. Jared Goff likes a spread. Those are your two offensive stars. Got to figure out how to meet in the middle. And in the meantime, Cooper Kupp, zeroed out by the Steel Curtain on Sunday. So things are not looking good there in my preseason prediction.
Does
that team's not going.
Does your son have a Micah Fitzpatrick jersey yet?
He will soon. Don't see any problem with that.
Greatest trade ever. Greatest trade. I saved the season.
It's up there.
It's pretty great.
Dave Yins, the best trade Steelers made since they got the bus. When they went out to get the L.A. Rams, they called them up and they say, hey, we want your room. And they're like, okay, dude, give us something we need. And they give up. Next thing I know, next stop, Canton, Ohio.
Yeah, that's right.
Dude.
That's right.
Same thing goes for you, Minka Fitzpatrick. Or should I call you Troy Polamalu?
Part two.
Something like that,
dude. He's been great.
Dude, he's terrific. We'll see on Thursday night what goes down there. And now with all that, let's get into the Red Challenge Flag Picks.
Red Challenge Flag Picks.
Ow! You know what? One more time. You guys try, but you didn't have your heart into it.
You guys perform. You don't.
Everybody behind the counter. Well, because I can't hear anything, so I couldn't hear the cue for the music.
It.
But behind the counter there, you guys are like Eddie Spaghetti rolling calls on the fan. Let's get some.
Yeah, Bruce, I hear you. Stay on
something
hold. Turn your radio
it.
Down. Turn your radio down.
I don't know what I'm allowed to say on this airspace. But all right, here we go. One more time, and everybody with feeling.
Red Challenge Flag Picks.
All right. Here we go. Let's start it off with the Thursday night game. It will be quick because a lot of people will listen to us after this, and this could end up being embarrassing for one or both of us here, Matt Money Smith, should we be on the wrong side of things,
I feel like I had a terrible week last week.
You didn't have a good one, but much like on the wrong side of things, just as Ohio, both of their pro football cities, so close to greatness, right on the other side of the border there in the southwestern portion of Pennsylvania, there sits football greatness. And you're stuck on the wrong side of things. And also right in between all of it, between the Browns and Pittsburgh, is Canton, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, which is a cool thing to have, except that when you go there, you're going to see a lot of the Pittsburgh Steelers in there.
Not a lot of use.
Must be the worst. In a way, I feel sort of sad for the people.
No, you don't.
A little bit.
No, not at all.
Not too much. But anyhow, let's get into this one Thursday night. The stakes are pretty clear. A lot of people have written off the Browns, so you would say they don't have much pressure on them. But, of course, they seem to think that they're in the mix for a playoff spot still. And what's further, they're fighting for Freddie Kitchens' job if they like Freddie. Mm. Matt Money Smith, Steelers, Browns, choose.
Made the mistake last week of not taking them. I'm not going to do it again. I'm taking the Steelers.
Eddie Spaghetti?
I'm holding it. Taking
There's
the Steelers.
No red challenge flag from you?
No.
Here's the. I'm going to eat the flag myself. I'm going to take the Steelers in this one, but obviously I could see it going the other way because
I just heard a no way from the call screener.
What do you mean no way?
I got to give credit to
when you said I'm going to take the Steelers.
Who's producing? It was a great sarcastic comment. By
I don't understand why that follows me around.
You're gonna do this
if
now.
I was so biased, then why don't I pick the Steelers to go 16-0?
You would like to.
Yes, that's the distinction. Right. What I'd like to see happen and what I think is going to happen are two very different things very often. In this case, I think the matchup that's kind of bad for Pittsburgh is if they have those young corners out there. Those corners for Cleveland are also playmakers. And with the way Mason Rudolph, he throws some tantalizing passes, there's something unusual about, I think it's because his release is so kind of slow.
Kind of.
Well, and it's got a sort of an exaggerated thing. Remember Bill Cartwright shooting free throws where he would take that, he would put his hands up and start to shoot, and then he would pause.
And then he would tilt it to the side.
Right, and then
He would swing it up.
And the guys on either side of the lane would kind of like stumble into the lane like, oh, we thought he had shot it already. I feel like that's how receivers react to Mason Rudolph throws. Like, oh, like they look like a catcher trying to catch a knuckleball sometimes.
That's
like,
so
I thought the ball would be different than the way it got to me.
It's not about Mason Rudolph. It's about the defense. You know that.
I agree.
It's about Cam Hayward coming right up the middle, making life miserable for Baker, pressuring him into multiple turnovers. You know, and the difference with the Steelers and
they
so many
others
defenses
they should be able to do that against this line.
They're able to get a rush while at the same time staying disciplined against the run. And it's very, very hard to do, and the Steelers are capable of doing it. And if you take away Nick Chubb's been great this year, if you take that away, oh, God help you. Freddie.
If they get, if the Steelers get into a good spot on the scoreboard, you see what happens when they can unleash the hounds like that. It it devastates teams that have mediocre to poor offensive lines. The Browns have a poor one, so yeah, you would think if they can get it to that place. And just as a side note, Aaron Donald was, I mean, as extraordinary as he always is, but really, the Steelers clearly game plan to stop him no matter. He was, and he was not defeating mediocre linemen. He was embarrassing the likes of David DeCastro out there. But as you watch 99, you mentioned Cam Hayward. It's getting to a point for me where even with, you know, Aaron Donald, who's going to go down along with probably Mean Joe Green and Randy White as the as one of the greatest interior defensive linemen ever, and you watch him, and then you watch another generational great in Fletcher Cox. Cam Hayward is not a finesse guy. He doesn't run past anybody. He just straight up
big and strong
trucks guys. Yeah. He consistently, it's amazing, gets 300-pound men and just pushes them straight back and does it play after play. It's quite a thing to behold, and it sets up everything else, including the
and
pass
rush. He's also savvy. He gets that mid up. Always gets the mid up.
Yeah, that's right.
Where far too few defensive linemen do that. It's like you're not going to get there as soon as you see, especially, you know, in the case of, you know, let's say a Mason Rudolph, if you were playing against him, someone with a long, loopy delivery, you can see it coming a mile away. Get that mid up in the air and swat it away. He did it with Jared Goff this past week.
We'll dive in because we'll have a week to do it after this game. But this is an interesting one, obviously, because if the Steelers get the 6-4, they really are starting to look strong for a wild card at minimum. And with the Texans and Ravens, it's conceivable the Steelers could be a game down by Sunday night. Is Mason Rudolph good enough for it to matter, Money? Because Chris Wessling, our pal, is as down on Mason Rudolph as you could be. He says he's the worst.
In the playoffs?
I just mean in these last handful of games. Is it Chris Wessling will tell you and has told me he's the worst starting quarterback in the NFL right now.
I think you can make a case.
I don't think that's outrageous, but I also think that while he is not a plus in pursuit of victory, I don't think he is an abject grotesquerie to look at. I mean, he has his bad moments, but he makes some nice throws.
I think it's all, you know, you have to remember what's around him, right? It's an offensive line that's in the conversation as the best offensive line in the league. You know, and I know he's been without James Conner a little bit, but a solid running game, a full complement of receivers that are certainly talented, that's what magnifies, you know, how much he has struggled and how far he has to go. When you have, like, think about, just compare that, and I get it. He was, what, a third-round pick, I think, Mason was? And Kyler Murray was the number one overall pick, but playing behind arguably the worst offensive line in football with a running back in David Johnson who does not look like the guy who had 2,000 scrimmage yards a couple seasons ago. He's breaking in new receivers in Christian Kirk and Keyshawn Johnson and Andy Isabella, who came out of UMass. And you know, and yet he's out there looking like a stud. Like, hey, this guy is going to be great. There never once have you watched a Pittsburgh Steelers series and said, and Mason Rudolph. Look out for him in the future.
I I'm not inclined to defend him tooth and nail. I will say, compared to his draft class, is he really that much worse than Baker Mayfield, based on what you've seen from Sam Darnold, Josh Rosen? Lamar Jackson's a different character. And then the guy who still just continues to jump out at me, as inaccurate as he is Josh Allen. Man, that ball coming out of his hand is live.
Do I think there's separation? Yes, I do.
I'm pushing back before you can even answer. I don't think
that's fine.
I've seen virtually every one of Baker Mayfield's snaps this season. He makes plenty of great throws, but he makes a lot of terrible decisions.
If you were to tell me, here we go. Let's go brass tacks here, okay?
I know one
and
has no
T-A-C-K-S,
offensive line.
That's T-A-C-K-S, by the way. It's
but by the
T-A-X.
Way, Baker Mayfield also has Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham.
Get it. This is all I'm saying.
And Nick Chubb.
You Pittsburgh Steelers fan, I want you to put your fan cap back on.
That's fine.
For the moment, for the purpose of this conversation.
That's fine.
On the table, you now get to select for the rest of the season. The rest of this season, I am going to put Baker, Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, Lamar Jackson, and Josh Allen, and Josh Rosen on that table, and Mason Rudolph. And you're telling me you're
going to
take Mason Rudolph over any of those guys to be the quarterback of your team.
Probably not.
No.
That's a fair point. But you know who I would take? I know what Lamar Jackson's doing, but to your early point about how everything is schemed around him now, I now, in my personal book, as much as people will laugh at this for how flawed he is, Josh Allen, man, that's the way. I love the size and the way he runs the ball so physically. Sure. And like I say, man, when he just makes a decision, it takes no time for him to put it up Marino-esque next to his right ear, and it comes out of his hand 40 yards downfield on a rope.
Think about for a moment.
I'm just telling you, I don't think he's an atrocity. Who would I rather have, Mason Rudolph or Case Keenum? How about that?
Juju was pouting. He was on the sidelines. He was a non-factor.
He wasn't pouting.
Listen, in the USC offense, until Sam Darnold walked on that field and said, Why are they not throwing to you more? Guess what, Juju? I'm going to throw to you more. Regardless of what this Clay Helton guy is telling me to do, you and I, we're going to do some stuff here, okay? Like, think about Sam Darnold behind that offensive line with his talent, with Juju Smith out there. Like, that's kind of goes back to the conversation we were having earlier about circumstance, the stability of the Steelers organization, that defense on the other side of the ball, that complement of weapons, that offensive line in front of him. Sam Darnold looks 180 degrees different than he does today with the Jets if he's behind and has that. And that's where I think the Mason Rudolph stuff comes in.
All right, listen, I'm just curious about it because I think he is not, like I say, a plus. I just don't think he...
I think he's a minus.
I don't think he equals... Well, they have no chance of winning against good teams. Obviously, they already have because of defense and otherwise. But do keep in mind, he doesn't have James Conner behind him. So anyway.
All right.
Moving on.
Next.
I put this one in here just so we can have a quick chat about it. You talk about Darnold. I mentioned Dwayne Haskins. Jets and Skins is compelling if you're somebody who follows the draft process. These teams are doing themselves harm by winning games over and over again. Eddie Spaghetti, let's go to you on this one since you've already touched on Sam Darnold here. Jets, Skins, choose.
This one for me is fairly easy because they named Dwayne Haskins the starter, so I'm going to go the Jets on the road.
I almost wonder, Matt Money Smith a decade ago taught me the way of playing in fantasy, streaming defenses. And I thought this morning, do I pick up the Jets defense based on their performance last week? Do I try to do that? And then I disabused myself of that quickly. But still, I hear Spaghetti's point.
Might not be too bad.
But then again, Dwayne Haskins.
4 picks and like under 100 snaps.
I know. But again, I'm a pedigree snob and unless he's a bust of a pick.
The Washington defense has been pretty good.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's just say, again, Sam Darnold, who has had a penchant for bad mistakes and bad throws, let's say the first quarter, you know, Washington gets up. Now you can play a different game, you know, against the Jets and a defense that's not very good. They're banged up.
So take them.
Take the Redskins? I can't. Not with Haskins. Just can't. I'll take the Jets. Not that compelling anyway.
All right, let's move on. We don't need to belabor that one. This game always, the first thing I think about whenever I see the Texans at the Ravens is the wild card round of 2013. The Ravens end up going and winning the Super Bowl, but their journey begins before they head to Denver. I might be wrong about that, though. Am I? No, I might be thinking of the wrong year. No, I think it was that year, 2013. The Texans go in there, and they're on their third-string quarterback, T.J. Yates.
Right.
And they just about beat them.
Right.
But T.J. Yates threw an ill-advised deep ball that Ed Reed picked off late in the game. To the here and now, Deshaun Watson, Lamar Jackson, the story tells itself. The hype, at least, lends itself to much excitement as we watch two of the more exciting guys, who, by the way, are both MVP candidates, Matt Money Smith, Houston, in Charm City. Choose.
I think it's going to be tight, but I'm going to take the Ravens.
Me too. No red running.
No
How about
red
you,
so far.
Spaghetti? You can't go Ravens?
No.
I mean, you can't go Texans here?
I think if it were in Houston, I'd take Houston, even though I don't really believe in home field, whatever. At the same time, I don't know. I just think it's that close. The Baltimore defense has not been great.
No.
And I think Deshaun Watson's going to get a few big plays.
Boy, did you see some of their pickups this week?
Yeah.
They're just throwing big bodies on that defensive front because they're so lousy.
The Texans' offensive line's been so much better, so improved, and you see what that's capable of doing even against a solid front in Jacksonville, you know, in the last game they played, or what was it, 24-3 or whatever that might be. And He's making use of his tight ends now. You've got all that speed on the outside. Nuke Hopkins is just ridiculous. I love, you know, you mentioned it. I think you mentioned it, or might have been the power rankings we were talking about, you know, the combination of Carlos Hyde and Duke Johnson. But, man, if Lamar Jackson can do to the, and I'm saying it facetiously, amoeba defense that was in the conversation as one of the historically great defenses, and he just cut it to pieces, then I'm guessing he's going to be able to do that and then some against the Texans.
Yeah, I would think so. And you mentioned Nuke Hopkins, who by his standard has had kind of a down year.
Right.
And
he's actually dropped passes.
The position of strength for the Ravens on defense is the secondary. It's the best in the AFC, maybe the best, most talented in all the NFL. You would think that they will focus on taking away Nuke Hopkins and then where exactly they go. Maybe it's Carlos Hyde, to your point. He has been a nice cheap option who also proves the point. Don't overspend to get a running back. Carlos
right.
Hyde is perfectly capable if you block for him up front. Yeah, and Duke Johnson has been a decent surprise.
Let's get some disagreement here, huh?
All right, here we go now. The Super Bowl of 2 years ago rematch. Tom Brady said earlier this week he's still mad about it. That's enough for me, but I'll turn to...
Well, let's turn to you.
Okay.
Pats at Eagles. Choose.
Coming off the bye, I'm going to go with the Patriots.
Yeah, me too.
Come on. Nobody wants to make a case for
right.
the true America's team 2 years ago. Chris Long putting his arm around Malcolm Jenkins, all that. They go and win the Super Bowl. They're starting to make a push. I said at the halfway point, these Eagles are going to go 6-2 or 7-1 if they can beat the Patriots in Philadelphia. And I can see a case based on what we saw with the Ravens that Jordan Howard can make some hay against them on the ground. But then you also think, isn't that what Bill Belichick probably dedicated the defense to over the last 2 weeks?
You said it with the bye. You get a bye, you get a chance to kind of regroup and, you know, bad loss against the Ravens, but Lamar Jackson presents, you know, issues that other teams simply don't have. And look, I think Carson Wentz takes too much incoming. He's a good quarterback, man. If you watch Carson Wentz play, you see him make plays when things go wrong. He's great on schedule, but I think when he really shines and when you realize he was selected where he was is when things like this, you know, that we're watching, if you're watching, you know, when the ability to know when to run, when to wait, keep your eyes downfield for that guy to pop open, you know, when your first or second read is off. I think he's been great this year. Will not surprise me in the least, even after, you know, some early hiccups. And I shouldn't say it that way. Eagles are going to win that division.
You know, I agree.
I believe they will win that
division.
Well,
they have a much easier road to hoe, especially
yes.
once they get over the Patriots. Then they have the head-to-head with Dallas, but they still should hold on. Like I say, they have a shot at 11 wins. They should probably settle at around 10, and that is probably based on what the Cowboys have upcoming going to be enough to win the division.
Right.
But yeah, of course, to your point about Carson Wentz, his crucible awaits in
yeah.
January if he gets
now,
there.
Is he good enough to beat
now?
The Patriots off a bye? No.
Probably not. Now let's round it out here. Spaghetti, who'd you got? So we're all the same.
I just wish the Eagles, the receivers have been non-existent this year.
Right.
And the Patriots have Stephon Gilmore. I mean, the running game has kind of figured out. They've like thrown the ball to Miles Sanders a little bit more, but I'm not picking against, even though the Eagles had a bye as well, I am not picking against Belichick coming off a loss as well.
Tom Brady, if you haven't heard, he's old now. And he's still the number one, better maybe than Russell Wilson even, or Aaron Rodgers or anybody else, about just rendering moot a good pass rush against what is a bad offensive line in front of him. He just gets the ball out so fast. He's an old man, and yet he's the one who's kind of the hardest to get to, and you would think Fletcher Cox and the rest of those guys should be able to get in his face, but we see over and over again when you think, oh, that's going to be the story of this game. That's what's going to take down Brady today. He just renders it all moot. He just throws it out to Julian Edelman or otherwise. All right, now let's bring it on home here with the game that we kind of started with, the AFC West. Very important one for both sides now. The 6-4 deeply flawed Chiefs against the 4-6, even more deeply flawed Los Angeles Chargers. Matt Money Smith, we know who you're going
to
pick. So
why don't you guys pick it so I don't have to wear the flags?
Probably smarter. True.
You know, I mean, at least I can throw the flag.
Hey, look, Spanos says I'm willing to get hit with red flags for you.
Exactly.
All right, here we go. You know what? I'd like to hear also from our Chiefs fan back there behind the counter. One Ryan Bartlett. But Eddie Spaghetti, you do the honors. Choose.
I'd love to pick the Chargers.
So why don't you?
Because I am. It's a get right game for the Chiefs.
Why'd you wear a Rangers hat the night after they vanquished the Penguins in overtime?
That's exactly
right.
That's exactly right.
That's 100% the reason why I wore the Rangers
hat. That ain't cool. I hope you don't get the fan gig now.
I know that I know they lost to the Titans, but the Titans are one of those teams that no one can figure out. But what did Mahomes have? Like 4 touchdowns and 446.
He did, yeah.
Like, I mean, come on. I'm not picking against Mahomes.
I like that people keep playing that game. All right, I'm going to take the Chiefs too, and now money has to throw it.
I've got to throw it.
This is because they're going to win more often than they lose because Patrick Mahomes is going to be able to outgun half the teams in the league. But as you see now, 4 losses is no jive 10 games into the season for a team that a lot of people say, oh, they're going to the Super Bowl. And this ain't about Matt Moore. It's about the cruddy defense that can't stop anybody from running. And
having to play in the wild card round instead of getting a bye. You know, it's kind of what you're looking at now.
This is why the Miami Dolphins of the mid 80s also won more often than they lost. They didn't win no Super Bowls, though, because they were a flawed team. I fear that this is what is going to mark at least the early stage of Patrick Mahomes' career until they figure out how to take that away. It's exactly what we said a week ago. You watch. Derek Mason's just going to pound them over and over, and that's exactly what happened. And I don't know if Melvin Gordon and Austin Ekeler are capable of doing that behind that offensive line, as banged up as it is, but it's win or lose this one. I just feel like that's a gathering storm. And, you know, I said the Raiders don't have to win an Arrowhead to win the division. If you think about it, Josh Jacobs should be able to go in there and do exactly that. With that big offensive line, just go in there and just, hey, we're just going to give it to the rookie all day long.
So stop it. I'll make the case. Here's the path for the Chargers to win, right? Melvin Gordon has run the ball exceptionally well the last 2 weeks. Exceptionally well. He was fantastic versus the Raiders, even behind that banged up offensive line. I mean, he's running over 6 yards per clip.
He's like Dalvin Cook in that they don't cut the biggest figure out there, but man, they punish anybody
Melvin's big.
Yeah,
Melvin's big.
He's a bigger dude.
Derrick
you're right.
He's not Derrick Henry, but he's big.
But he's got Matt Money Smith legs, as I've told
you. He
does. He's got the skinny little legs.
But he packs that punch, and you saw him do that, especially that carry where he pushed 3 guys into the goal, end zone.
You're trying to tackle me? Well, now you have to pay a price for doing that.
So that's number one, right? Two, you have got to do a better job of taking advantage of Austin Ekeler. I can't tell you how many times you would see him motion out of the backfield outside the numbers, and a linebacker travels with him. That's it. As soon as I see that, it's, all right, well, offensive line, please give me a second, one and a quarter second, so Austin can make his cut. I can get the ball in his hands, and he's going to make a fool of that guy. They have to do a better job of that. Hunter Henry's been great in the middle of the field every single game since he's been back. Defensively, they did their job, save one drive. I mean, that defense played great. They got pressure on Derek Carr. They basically rendered Josh Jacobs moot for the majority of the game, save that last 18-yard carry where Rayshon Jenkins made a bad read, which unfortunately he's done, I think, a couple times per game, and it's cost them some big plays. And that's, the absence of Derwin James.
Yep.
Derwin's there, everything changed. All these one-possession games change if Derwin is on that field because you have that eraser. So, it's going to take a perfectly played game from the safety position. And sadly, Andy Reid is well aware, if you're a Charger fan, well aware of what the issue is for the Chargers. And that is that stack 3 on one side, over route from the inside. Gets him every time. He's done it every year, 2 or 3 times a game, because he'll get a linebacker lined up on that inside receiver or tight end, and it's ugly. And
did you notice, that micro point, did you? I hadn't seen teams, I can't think of the last time I saw defensive backs respond to that formation, that stack formation, by stacking their DBs as well so that they don't collide with each other.
Right.
Typically, they all jam up to the line, and then they bump into each other and cancel each other out. It's interesting to watch defenses adjust to that. One last thing, speaking of smallish details, what is Mike Williams? How many targets is he getting? It's time for him to be a more consistent presence in that offense.
I would agree. He still has not caught a touchdown pass this year. and he just got his first 100-yard game of his career against the Packers. I mean, it's been
first 100?
Odd, very odd. For as talented as he is,
I don't get it,
the
man.
Acrobatic, remarkable catches that he makes game in and game out, I'm with you.
Well, you know they're paying attention to Keenan Allen, and they're looking right at Melvin Gordon and Hunter Henry. I'm surprised that he can't that they can't figure out a way to get him more involved drive to drive. Anyway, listen, Matt Money Smith, drive time is always great for Southern Californians because you listen to Petros and Money if you're smart on your way home. Of course, we always love getting to sit with Matt Money Smith here on the Wednesday DDFP. Make sure you check it out, rate it, all that stuff on YouTube and on iTunes or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. For Matt Money Smith, have a great time in Carson this weekend. Bartlett, are you going to be there?
Going to Mexico.
No, I'm here.
Oh, that's Monday night. You're not going to Carson. You're going to
Mexico City. That's me.
Even better. Ooh, la. That's right. Eat well. Saturday. Bring me back some tender vittles.
Okay. I don't know.
Who knows what could have been the noun that I was asking for. We'll talk about that off the air. All right. Have a great time down there with Handsome Hank, and then we'll see you both upon your return. Bartlett, a year ago we were at the Coliseum watching the greatest game of all time. Now both those teams might miss the playoffs.
You were trying to high-five Gerald Everett.
So? Jerk.
You guys made up for though.
We made friends.
Yeah, you did.
I instructed T.J. Watt and Minka Fitzpatrick to make him pay. And so he did. Best served cold. That's what we're going to do. All right. Thanks, Eddie Spaghetti. Thanks, everybody behind the table. We'll talk to you early next week to make sense of Week 11 for you and tell you what's upcoming in Week 12. Until then, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.